Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Down the stretch they come. Grant and Danny with you. Final hour underway, 106.7 The Fan. Thanks, as always, for making this broadcast part of your day. The big one at one brought to you by your local Honda dealer. It's time to get your local Honda dealer for model year clearance pricing. See your local Honda dealer today. Ken Carman hosts Morning Drive in Cleveland on our sister station, 92.3 in Ohio, and he does a great job on that show. Love listening to them in the morning. Ken, let's start with the Browns. They had a bad game against the Ravens team that's better than them and a really good game against the Bengals team that's worse than them. Do we know anything about Cleveland after 2 weeks and what they actually are yet?
I think we know their defense is going to struggle this year. I think we know. Well, I say that, but I guess what? We've given up in the league. We've given up a record amount of points through the first two games that the league's ever given up. So defense across the league isn't that good. But I really think this defense is going to be a struggle. And I've said this a bunch of times. When you switch out coaches every other year, they always switch out philosophies because they bring in different defensive coordinators. And that means that there are certain guys like Chase Young. Chase Young is to play in every defense that's possible because he's Chase Young. But there are other guys that work out really well in certain groups and certain hybrids. And so you have to have their guys. You have to have those defensive coordinators' guys. Well, if I'm switching to defensive coordinators every other season, or even every season, because there's been guys who have been fired by coaches who have stayed, then I'm not going to be able to build any continuity. And I think that that's where the difference is going to be this year. Baltimore has had the same people in place for a long time. They've been able to build and start to reload. And Pittsburgh, it took them 5 years to build this defense. And I think that's where the Browns are really behind. Offensively, I was really encouraged by what we saw last week against the Bengals, but it's still the Bengals, so I can't really go crazy yet.
Well, Ken, let's go to Cleveland's offense more specifically. This is a great time to really see where they're at against a good Washington defensive front. Secondary is a bit vulnerable. They're probably not quite as good as Baltimore, but definitely better than Cincinnati. How do you anticipate Cleveland to come out and attack this Washington defense?
I think they're going to try to run the football. Kareem Hunt looks like the Kareem Hunt of old back when he was in Kansas City. I think he was one of the indicators of just how much of a mess their offense was last season because they couldn't get him going at all. He was injured. I think he was a little out of shape, too. But, you know, I'm nothing to say anything about that with anybody. So he just wasn't in really great sorts of what they wanted to do. He's looked really good through two games. Even in the loss, he's looked really good. So I think that they're going to use a healthy dose of he and Nick Chubb. I'd like to see them get Austin Hooper involved some more. But really, you can take your pick. And that front four that Washington has, it's good and it's deep. That is the nice thing you guys have with your front four is that you guys have depth and you have some talent there. And I think this is going to be a really nice test for this Browns offensive line. I think that they actually were good in that game against Baltimore. That's what made it such a disheartening loss. Cincinnati, they were really good in. Jedrick Wills has been over there at the left tackle spot for the first time since high school, and he was a 10th overall pick. And I was nervous. I liked him. I liked his athleticism coming out. I was a little nervous because I could hear ghosts. You know, quarterbacks see ghosts. I think hosts hear ghosts. And I could hear the calls of Browns draft picks pass where guys are saying, well, they're the smartest guys in the room. Always they got to be that way. But he's been okay so far. So I think it's exactly the way you just diagnosed it. I don't know what type of pressure is going to be applied. And if you can apply pressure to Baker Mayfield, he will throw interceptions. He's proven it over the last half a season where he's thrown 11 in the last eight games. So that is one way you guys can get to the Browns defensively.
Ken Carman on Grant and Danny. I want to go back to the defensive side of the ball for Cleveland. In watching their game against Cincinnati back last night, this defensive front, like Washington's, has a chance to dominate. And it's interesting because, like you, I don't think much of Washington's defense overall through a couple of weeks because of the secondary. It seems to me like your linebacking core is pretty susceptible to the passing game. But Myles Garrett's one of the best players in the league. Sheldon Richardson is still legit. I don't even know who Porter Gustin is, but he was making plays at left end constantly. Larry Ogunjobi has taken over games in the past. Like, how is it possible that their defense can be that pedestrian when Denzel Ward is great and that defensive line is that legit?
Because their linebackers are that bad. I mean, you said it. Sione Takitaki, he's just not good. He's just not good at the position. He really should be a special teamer and a fill-in guy. And the sad thing is he was taken, I believe, in the fourth round last year. And Mack Wilson, who was good for them last year, and I know Pro Football Focus can't stand him, but he was really good for them last year. He was taken in the fifth round, and then he hurt his knee during training camp. I'm not sure how much of Mack Wilson you're going to see coming up on Sunday. They're just getting him back from an injury. Greedy Williams has missed a lot of games. The second-year guy to LSU, he's just coming back from a shoulder injury. That secondary is just so susceptible. They lost Grant Delpit, and they were expecting him to start as a rookie. They're just so beat up by some of those injuries, and they need to load them up, and it's going to take a couple of drafts because they let go of Joe Schobert, who is I call him a plumber's linebacker. He comes in, he does the job. I don't have to complain about him. I don't need to go crazy over him, but he shows up and he does his job. Same thing with Christian Kirksey, who was pretty good in coverage. Both of those guys are gone, and they are going to struggle with that this year. Be better in week two, but I still think he was rough. And the tight end usage, if Dwayne Haskins can find his tight ends, I think it could be nasty. I think it could be pretty ugly of just getting stops. I still think the Browns can win because I think their offense is better. But I think that Dwayne Haskins can get a rhythm going as long as he can find and take what the defense has given to him. But, I mean, you guys know that better than I do. He kind of has he's kind of had trouble with that over the last couple of seasons. So,
Ken Carman with us, 92.3 The Fan, breaking down the Browns. Ken, you got to where I was going to go here. I think you're underestimating how truly bad Washington's offense is. They have one touchdown in the first half and 13 drives after the defense gave them the ball deep in Eagles territory. I think half of their drives have been three and outs. 80% of their drives are four and outs, meaning they got one first down and then had to punt or turned it over or something. They're terrible on offense, and they get behind in games. I think this is a get-right week for Cleveland's defense. To me, what's got to be taken away if Cleveland's going to do that? It's a pretty simple scouting report, I'd imagine.
As far as what do you think needs to be taken away from the Browns' defense or taken away from you guys?
Like scouting report, Cleveland looking at Washington. What does Cleveland need to limit to win this football game from Washington's offense?
Oh my gosh, I think watching you against Philadelphia and then watching against Arizona, I just think it's pressure on Dwayne Haskins. You got those injuries. Is Sheriff going to miss this game? I think, is that true?
Yes, several games probably.
Okay, Miles has to show up and have a couple of sacks. Some fans have been upset with him. I would say just get after Dwayne Haskins as best they can. You know, you got that threat. You got a couple of decent threats there. I try to be respectful. I really have. I think that Dwayne Haskins has been put in a tough situation. So I tend to be nicer about these type of things than I am even about my own team here. And I did an interview with Dukes about Baker Mayfield last week, and I basically got very angry during that interview talking about Baker. And it certainly wasn't anything Chad did. It was all Baker. But if I were Joe Woods, I'd just bring heat as much as I could over Dwayne Haskins and let them find the tight ends and let them find the running game to beat him. I think that they were okay against the run. They really shut that valve off against Cincinnati, and Joe Mixon is as good as it gets. They shut that off pretty well. You know, Baltimore, they didn't really need to run the ball like crazy because the Browns came out and turned the ball over and made idiots of themselves in the first half. But I think that if they can just provide that heat to Dwayne Haskins, I think that could probably force him into some poor decisions. I think that he's thrown some nice balls through what I've watched, and you guys have watched him closer than I have, but boy, the decision-making at times, It's perplexing. It just really is perplexing. So that's what I do. I know that's pretty simple, but that's exactly what I do. I just be sending them and sending them and sending them and see if they can find the open people. Then I'd be making some adjustments if I have to. But I definitely put Dwayne Haskins to the test there.
Ken, I know you do four-hour shows at a time on this, so to ask you for 30 seconds on it is probably unfair, but you know how this works. Baker Mayfield, your confidence level 1 to 100, you know, 100 maxing out that he's the guy long-term right now is what?
40%.
Oh, wow.
35, 40%. He needs to show leadership. There's talent there. He needs to show leadership. I told Chad last week, and I know I'll make it quick. You come into this league, you talk big boy stuff against grown adults, they will humble you really quickly. You better be better than Patrick Mahomes if you're going to sit there and tweet at people and talk trash. And you can punch down at radio show hosts, and you can go after fans on Twitter, but these are grown men, and you aren't going to shake your garbage at them like you did at Kansas a couple of years ago. You ain't going to do that to Calais Campbell. That's a grown man, and you better respect him. And I think that that's something that Baker Mayfield has had to learn in the first couple of years. He can get there, but he better cool his jets and actually learn some humility. And hopefully this last season was a big step towards that.
Ken, terrific with us as always, man. Keep up the great work and enjoy the weekend.
Thank you guys very much for having me.
You got it. That's Ken Carmen, morning radio in Cleveland on 92.3, our sister station, on our Entercom station out where the Browns are. And you can hear the Browns on that affiliate. Top five games of the weekend. We have not yet previewed the NFL slate this weekend. So let's rank our five best games. We do it every Friday. It's a Football Friday on Grant and Danny. What a football weekend ahead. We talked about the SEC returning and college football having far and away its best slate of the campaign to this point tomorrow. Well, on Sunday, the NFL's got, I'd say, six really good games and an entire weekend's worth of entertaining matchups on the docket for you. But we do this every week on Football Friday on Grant and Danny. We normally go 5-1, picking the best games of the weekend, most worth watching, that you should be prioritizing. But let's go 1-5, because otherwise it'd just be anticlimactic, because we both
weird.
Obviously think that the Chiefs and the Ravens are the number one game of the weekend, correct?
No. Yes, of course, obviously. That's the one. I hate that it's now. I kind of wish it was a mid-season deal, like it was a week 8 or week 9, week 10 kind of thing.
Yeah, a little too early.
When they were 9-1 or 8-2, you know, clearly the two best teams. But just bring it to me. I'm waiting all day for Monday night or whatever the stupid song says. That's awesome. These two teams are the two best in football. Different styles. Contrasting. One's wide open. The other's, you know, nothing but misdirection, running the football, opportunistic defenses. The past two MVPs, team me up.
Feels kind of like when a couple of great out-of-conference teams play early in the college football season, like Alabama and Oregon are playing in week 2 or something weird after they played against directional Michigans in the first week of the season. But, yeah, while I wish this game was later, it's going to be great. And the winner's number one in all the power rankings going into week 3. Baltimore's actually been the decidedly analytically better team through two games, but the Chiefs are the defending champions. You got Pat Mahomes, you got a shot. The stat that John Clayton gave us earlier today, and if you missed that interview, go grab it, grantanddanny.com/audio or radio.com/rewind, was crazy. He said that the last 6 times Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs have fallen behind by double digits, they've come back to win those games. Think about
normal.
That.
That's just a regular occurrence, right? Nope. Man, he's special.
They did it in week 2 against the Chargers. They did it in the Super Bowl, obviously. But Kansas City, man, Baltimore can't do a whole lot better than that on Monday Night Football. Your number 2 best game of the slate this weekend is what?
There are a number of choices here, my friend. But for the intrigue, for what it means in the NFC, I ended up choosing Green Bay at New Orleans. A 3-point spread, over-under is 52.5. New Orleans could be 1-2. At the end of this, or they could get themselves back on track after a bad showing in week number 2 out in Las Vegas. They need to get right against a Green Bay team that has looked incredibly well through a couple games. Now, I think they've beaten two bad teams. You don't apologize for that. They've throttled those teams. They've dominated NFC supremacy, basically on the line right here early on in week 3. Could have picked a bunch of games, but that's the one I've got the second most intrigue about.
I've got Rams-Bills second on my list. 2-2-0 teams. The Bills are my pick to win the AFC East title, and I'm not hedging on that. They've gotten off to a quick start. I didn't love the way their defense played against Miami. Gave me some slight pause, so I'd like to see them respond. If you're asking me to pick this game and I didn't use our confidence points on it, I would take the Rams over the Bills. L.A.'s had a couple of more style points in their wins. I think they've played better competition as well. Sean McVay's got that group dialed in. And speaking of things our guests have told us, we had somebody on yesterday who mentioned that the Rams never play their players in the preseason that matter. They never play their starters at all in exhibition games under Sean McVay. And maybe they, unlike other teams, have been a little bit more proficient at getting off to a quick start because this is just a normal year for them. I thought that was intriguing. But the Rams and the Bills, couple of the better surprise stories in football so far with how they've played, how Josh Allen's lighting it up, how Jared Goff has bounced back. I love that game. You also got two teams that don't play a whole lot from the two different conferences. That's fun. Number three for me, I'll go Packers-Saints. You just said it, so I don't need to give you a whole lot more. I mean, the storyline I care the most about, big picture, is Drew Brees. Is he going to find his way here? Is this offense going to start looking better? On the Green Bay side of the ledger, this would be a signature quality win for them. You're 3-0, having handled the Vikings, who everyone came into the season thinking were going to be your toughest competitor in the North, and then beating the Saints within a three-week span with a sandwich game where you got fat on the Lions like you always do, then people need to just calm down and shut up about the Packers for a little while because they're on their way to another 11 or 12-win season. But they got to beat the Saints first.
My number three game of the week, Dallas at Seattle. Two of the most prolific quarterbacks in the league, MVP frontrunner, and another guy that's on the top five of the MVP board in Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott, respectively. Dallas should be 0-2, to be honest with you. Miracle comeback doesn't change that fact. They should be 0-2, and yet they're 1-1, gave themselves an opportunity. Seattle, through offense, has found themselves in a 2-0 spot. I love this game. Highest over-under the weekend at 57 points. I can't wait to see the offense, the back and forth, the bell getting rung a ton of times as these teams cross the goal line so darn much. I think this is an intriguing matchup. So number four for me, you touched on already. Any of these games, by the way, 2 through 4, you could shuffle them up and I think make an argument for it. Rams at Bills. The Rams are great at going east under Sean McVay. I learned this when they beat the snot out of Philadelphia in week number two. I think they're now 13-0, 1 o'clock East Coast kickoffs under Sean McVay. Highly unusual for West Coast teams to be able to do that. Part of that's coincidence. The other part is they must be doing something right, right? Buffalo is good. The Rams are good. That's going to be a major matchup. So that's my number four game, but could easily be as high as number two, which I think it is for you.
Raiders-Patriots, number four for me. I think you said something that was interesting to me when you picked this game in your confidence points pick'ems. When you mentioned that people are a little too high on Vegas right now because we just saw the game in prime time and Derek Carr's doing his interview and coming off like $1 million. You're probably right, but I want this week to determine that for me.
Yep.
We're going to find out. New England, I think they make the playoffs. I think they would have, honestly, in the traditional format with an expanded extra team getting in. I had them at 9-7 coming into the season after they signed Cam Newton. It looks like that was not only the right decision, but maybe a godsend and a savior for them. They have a chance, perhaps, to win the East if they keep playing at this level. Seattle's probably a 12-win team, and they took them to the brink. I know that the Seahawks' defense is not very good. I don't think Vegas' defense is any better. So the Patriots will be able to move the ball. Could be another shootout. See if they can come out on top in this one. But I love that game number four. And then game number five, speaking of Seattle, the Cowboys and the Seahawks. Over-under for me would be set in the mid-50s here. I think you could see like a 33-27 kind of game where the Seahawks beat the Cowboys. But neither of these defenses is good, and both teams can spread you out and sling it.
Yeah, 57, highest of the weekend, so you're on point there. My number five game, you touched on it, Vegas headed east to play the Patriots. We could be talking about a 2-0 Patriots team matching serve with Buffalo. We're not because of a goal line stand. And Vegas is sort of the talk of the league. They're 2-0 after they beat the snot out of New Orleans on primetime. This is a great chance. How for real are you? Going to New England and winning would be really, really meaningful for Vegas. You drop it, there's no shame in it necessarily. A lot of teams will go on the road and lose to New England, but can the Patriots kind of keep pace with an upstart Bills team and still hold on to that vice grip that they've had for 20 years, basically, of that AFC East?
Did you not hear the president at all during your breakdown there?
No.
I thought that would have been the president's first time on the Vegas
odds. Oh, I just heard something.
Being on the air. Well, she's come down the steps now, and she's screaming at me. This is the first time. I don't know where the mom is. I don't know what's going on. But she is broken through the barricade. She is downstairs, and she wants her presence felt on the Grant and Danny radio
program. Congratulations.
So Tommy, I don't know if you got to change the odds moving forward or not, but the president has now made her way on the program. Can you hear that? I mean, this is just a wacky.
Clear as day.
She's here. This is what's happening now. She's right here. Come here, Reagan. Get over here. Do you want to say anything to Danny? Nothing?
Do I have to do Elmo, or should we go to break?
Yeah, do some Elmo for her.
Elmo wants to know, where's your mom? Elmo wants to know, why are you on the Grant and Danny show? Yeah. You should be playing or napping. Yeah, not on the radio.
Oh, that's hard to do. It hurts my throat. But it's good. Makes the president happy. Makes the president happy.
She appreciates it, Uncle Danny. We'll put a bow on this sucker as we continue on Grant and Danny. But first, we got to make you our predictions for Washington and Cleveland. Final score, who's going to shine on offense and on defense, and what will we get out of Dwayne Haskins in game number 3? You're listening to The Fan. Football is finally back. Week 3 is here. You can play against me and Ken Carmody, you just heard, from Cleveland, and a bunch of other radio hosts from our Entercom stations around the country. The Rocket Mortgage picks that you can make could be worth $10,000 in the Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. Sign up today, radio.com/picks, and get in for Week 3. All you got to do is pick winners. Each week, no point spreads, no lineups, totally free to enter. Pick the most games right throughout the season. You could win $10,000. It's the Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. Sign up now at radio.com/picks. You can tweet us throughout the show, as always, at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny. Enoch made me LOL during the break. he tweeted, the president talking to Elmo on Grant and Danny, we have now lost cabin pressure. That's
imagine,
a great line.
Imagine that sentence 5 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, Grant and Danny, we're in year whatever we are, 2, 3, and things are going. Hey, in a few years, the president will talk to Elmo on your radio program.
Right. Well,
I'm sure everything's normal.
That many years ago, the president was Obama. So Obama's talking to Elmo. Yeah, you wouldn't have known what was going on. But here we are, the Madam President and Elmo on this show. He's right. The masks just dropped down from overhead. We got to get this thing back on track. So let's do it right now. Predictions for Washington and Cleveland. We used to do them in our final segment, but I like having this extra time to let our hair down here on Football Fridays. So you make your pick first. Give me a score and how the game plays out.
24-16. First half lows for Washington will continue. They cannot move the football. They can only do it when they're down by double-digit points, and the defense gets a little soft and allows some things to happen underneath. Cleveland won't be great offensively because Washington defense is good enough to slow them down, but it's an attrition thing. When you punt or fumble or turn it over or don't do anything for the first 13 possessions of the football games, that you've played in through 2 weeks, and 3 weeks that trend will continue, you're going to be chasing the game the entire time. Cleveland wins 24-16.
I got a 27-23 final for the Browns. I got a backdoor touchdown in the final 2 minutes from Dwayne Haskins to Steven Sims. It's going to be 27-16. They're going to score that touchdown. They're going to pull to within 4 points at the end of the ball game. They'll miss, you know, either a two-point conversion, or they'll just kick the extra point to be within four. And that's how the game will end. The Browns are better, and I think that they will be able to run the ball in the second half against Washington. Here's why. Because this offense cannot sustain drives. They cannot stay on the field. They cannot put together 9 and 10 plays. They cannot get to a point where this defense has to rest and is allowed to actually rest. I don't need them to score 30 points. I need them to give the defense a chance to be so great that it can win the game for you. Whether that's a sack fumble or an interception they return to the 15-yard line that you turn into, ideally, a touchdown, but at worst, a field goal. And if this defense is not rested this week, it will be a way bigger issue and a way bigger problem, in my opinion, than it has been the last couple of weeks because of the way the Browns want to play you. I do think this is a better matchup, though, Danny. You know that in week one I thought that they were going to play the Eagles really close, and I didn't think it was that crazy to think that they could beat Philly just by pounding on that offensive line that was injured. In week two, I gave them no chance against the Cardinals because Arizona was going to spread you out, throw it quick, not let your pass rush get home. I think they're going to hit Mayfield and sack Mayfield more often than they did Kyler Murray this past week. I think they will be more of a factor up front defensively than they were against Arizona in week two. But my problem's just, as you've said over and over again, still this offense. You got to make a few plays just to get some time of possession early in the game to keep the Browns from wearing you down, and I don't see it.
I just, if there's something, a big play, a break, a long Terry McLaurin pass, a Steven Sims catch and run in space where, you know, a poor angle or something leads to a home run, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take something easy for this offense because everything in the first halves right now just looks like rocket science with you know, chopsticks and a monocle. Like, you've got no way to get it done at this point. It's just they're playing as if they're afraid of some huge negative play or some disastrous moment, and there's just nothing available. Looks like nothing is on that play sheet that'll work at this point. Second half's when they go tempo or they get down enough points, they're free and easy. You got to find a way to balance that. To me, take some risks. What are you going to be, down early? You found a way to do that each half in both of these games that you have played. So maybe you run something where you get a double move and you just throw it up for grabs to somebody. I don't know what you got to do, but there's got to be something easy for this offense because nothing has been through a couple of weeks.
All right, time to make our individual player predictions, our bold predictions for this week. I'll start with the Browns. I think Kareem Hunt outrushes Nick Chubb. I think Washington does a pretty good job on Chubb, holds him somewhere around 50 yards or so. But I think Hunt ends up rushing for over 100 on 15 or so carries. Like, I think he rips a couple off in the second half, and in the end, he looks really good with his average. I'm going to say something like 17 attempts for 107 yards for Kareem Hunt in this game and a rushing touchdown. I think he ends up being the Browns' best player in this game. Who's your Brown to go off? What's your prediction for them?
Austin Hooper, 7 catches, 90 yards. He's done nothing, next to nothing this year. Only 6 targets, 4 catches for 37 through a couple weeks. Several reasons for that. One, Washington covers tight ends like I resist carbohydrates. They're not good at it. They've never been good at it. It feels like a decades-long problem, and Hooper is due for a breakout. And I think Washington can plug enough holes in a dam to stop some things. They can take a few things away, right? They can make it hard for you to go deep to Beckham, make it hard for you to go to Jarvis Landry on certain kinds of routes. I think Hooper will be open. I think Baker Mayfield finds him to sort of relieve some of that pressure from a defensive line that's going to be getting home. So I think Austin Hooper has a big game. 7 for 90 and a touchdown.
All right, give me your bold prediction on Washington's side of the ledger.
The Washington football team will have a career record for Dwayne Haskins and passing yardage. The calories will be so empty, Grant. But your guy, Dwayne Haskins, 300-yard passing game.
No.
A 300-yard passing game. The boldest of the bold predictions. It will be in so much garbaggio time, but it'll be 300 yards.
He's never gone for 265.
You and I both know that.
Wow, that's very bold. Last week that's I said bold. He would break his record as my bold prediction, and I said 265, and I didn't get that. But you're upping the ante, my friend.
300 yards.
Damn.
Big
one. I'll be honest with you. I don't care if it's in garbage time. That would be fun to see. I would just love to see him throw for 300 yards. And I understand garbage time is different. Like, people always get mad when they go, oh, he threw for 57 yards and a touchdown on the last drive. We can't even pull that off right now. You understand that? Like,
yes, I do.
There's been a lot of garbage time. Not a lot of it's been taken advantage of. It's a lot of 241-yard, 226-yard games in garbage time. I'll take a 300-yard game in garbage time as we're trying to figure out what this quarterback is. My bold prediction for the Washington offense is that Antonio Gibson catches 5 balls for 65-plus yards as a receiver. Right now, I think he's got 4 catches for 5 yards. I'll even go 70. I say he catches 5-plus balls for 70-plus yards receiving, and I think he and McKissick combined go for over 100 as pass catchers in this game.
3 catches for 5 yards on the season for Gibson. That would be a substantial jump up. And 1 catch for 1 yard for McKissick. That's bigly.
Let's do this.
They're in the game if that happens, by the way.
That is our breakdown. No, because a lot of it could be that garbage time you talk about.
Oh, it's true.
If
maybe
Dwayne Haskins
right.
is getting to 300, it's not going to be to Terry McLaurin. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I smell what you're cooking.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. This date in Nats history. Next.
All right, guys, we're going to take you back to Tuesday, September 25th, 2018, 2 years ago today at Nationals Park, with a historic moment for Max Scherzer. With the Nationals leading the Miami Marlins by the score of 3-1, Max pitching into the seventh inning would reach double digits in strikeouts again, but this one meant a whole lot more with a big number for the season against the Marlins' Austin Dean.
9 pitches in, it's 3-2. The fans still standing. Scherzer stares in for the sign. He's ready. The 3-2 pitch coming home. Swing and a miss. He got him on a slider. And there it is. Max Scherzer's 300th strikeout here in 2018. And this crowd will salute the great Max Scherzer. He is the 36th pitcher in the modern era of baseball to strike out 300 batters in a season. And he will soak in the applause. Max salutes the fans, first base side, third base side. Davey Martinez is out on the warning track, leading the applause from the dugout. What a moment for Max Scherzer.
He finishes the inning, 10 strikeouts, 7 innings, a run on 5 hits. The Nationals win the game. He improves to 18-7. What a moment, what a memory, what a call to have made for you, Dave.
What a season for Max Scherzer to average 12.2 strikeouts and over 220 and two-thirds innings, led the league, and the 300 strikeouts. 18 of his 33 starts that year, Charlie, he reached double digits. It was an amazing season. Coming off back-to-back Cy Youngs, he didn't win the Cy Young in 2018. He may have had better numbers in this particular season, but finished second to Jacob deGrom. But on that moment, you know, he wanted to get that last strikeout in front of the home fans, and that's the way his season ended in 2018.
Happened 2 years ago today, this date in Nationals history, and coincidentally, Max Scherzer on the mound tonight against the Mets in his final start of 2020. Back to you guys.
If you want your own Washington Nationals World Series ring, you can enter to win your own World Series ring at Nats. ringsweeps.com. That's natsringsweeps.com. Every entry helps support Nationals Philanthropies, the official charitable arm of the Washington Nationals, which does incredible work in our communities. One last Scherzday, Danny, going into his contract year next year. We'll have one more season of Max, but this is the last shot we get to watch him. Always a precious commodity, those Scherzer outings. I will be tuned in this evening to watch Scherzer throw.
Same, my friend. Always. It is always can't miss television. Maybe less so this year because, there was a time where there was probably about a 50% chance he was taking a no-no into the sixth inning. I mean, at some point, right, or something special was going to happen, whether it's double digits, strikeouts, or otherwise. He's now just regular great instead of superhuman, stupid video game with the difficulty turned down. Great. But it should always be an appreciation moment. One of the greatest free agent signings in the history of sports is here. They don't get to where they got to without Max Scherzer.
All right, few things as we set the table for the weekend ahead in sport tonight on ESPN. Tip off at 8:30, the Heat and the Celtics. Miami trying to get past Boston and on to the NBA Finals to presumably play the Lakers, although that is still to be determined. Miami is 10-2 in these playoffs. Very few people had them making a lot of noise in the postseason, and they are on the brink of dispatching Boston, who's been favored in every game in the series.
I thought they'd be a problem, and this is not me giving myself credit. I didn't see this. If anybody saw them being 10-2 and breezing through everything, you're lying, or you live in Miami and you just say that no matter what. They've been unbelievable defensively. They honestly remind me a lot of Toronto last year. GP, it's not only the first wave of defense, but it's the second, third efforts. They're so well conditioned. They've got a couple killers in the lineup with Adebayo and Jimmy Butler, and they can come at you in waves. You saw Tyler Hero off the bench with 37 points. They're a complete team. They're a pain in the butt to play against and beat. I still think the Lakers are going to be able to do it over them, but they're going to give the Lakers a run, assuming both make it through into the finals.
Stanley Cup ongoing as well. You want to watch the good stuff on the ice, the Lightning and the Stars. Tonight at 8 o'clock, they'll drop the puck on NBC. Tampa Bay, the favorite to take the Stanley Cup home when that series began. But Dallas has given them fits, and the Lightning seem to have finally gotten going here over their last several periods. On the gridiron, we mentioned college football returns tomorrow. The SEC is back. Danny, we're going to get quality top 25 teams playing all over the place tomorrow. The first time we'll have three games where two teams in the top 25 are meeting.
I love it. Last week's schedule, yeah, we kind of went through it a little bit. We went that together. We all sort of held our nose and we watched it because it was college football. We watched it because it was sports. This right here is a good slate. I'm into this one. Give me some SEC matchups. Give me some real adult college foosball.
You got anything going on non-sports this weekend? What are the Rouillets doing?
Well, so it's technically sports, my friend, but remember the Wolfpack has their first game. We didn't know it was going to be possible. Go back to pandemic times. Every spring sport was shut down. We didn't know if we're going to have anything. DC's not allowing most of the leagues to take place this fall. So we had to glom on to our friends in Montgomery County. So we're going to have a sporting match for the Wolfpack tomorrow. So that's the big to-do for the weekend.
I'm proud of the Wolfpack. I'm looking forward to seeing how the offseason went for them, see what kind of marquee acquisitions you guys added.
We lost our three best players, to be honest with you.
Uh-oh. Wasn't a great offseason?
Yeah, they've all opted out. Understandably, I get that, and we've added
opt-outs.
Some new
opt-outs. Wow, yeah. Damaging opt-outs for the Wolfpack.
So our three most talented players are long gone, and it's going to be a rebuild. It's a bit of a rebuild. So a couple of things happened. One, they opted out. Two, the field gets bigger, and the size of the number of players on the field gets bigger. So we had eight before, for 4-on-4. Now it's 5-on-5. And so we have four new players, something like that. Our three best players are gone. There's a lot of unknowns right now about the Wolfpack. We will not be running roughshod through our division as we did last year.
I'm going to say you guys are underdogs in your first game by about 9 points or something like that.
Big time.
The
Big
Vegas
time.
Odds. I'm going to be celebrating my mom's birthday. She had a birthday this week, so we're going to go home and sit outside and hang out and see her, which will be nice. Haven't gotten to hang out with the folks nearly as much, I'm sure, like a lot of you during the pandemic, as you might like. So that is the non-sports item for us. But Sunday, Washington football, the Cleveland Browns. We'll have your pre and your post right here on The Fan. Logan Paulson's been killing it, if you haven't heard him. He and J.P. Flame have your pregame show, and then Logan and Pete have your postgame show. Congratulations to caller number 10 right now at 800-636-1067. You're winning a $250 gift card courtesy of T-Mobile. Your ticket to the Nationals with America's largest 5G network. Remember, Danny, speaking of T-Mobile, they're sponsoring our Nats Facebook Live this afternoon, which we're doing coming up in a little bit.
I was going to bring that up if you didn't. 5:30 post-Meridian, you, me, chopping up the Nats, just talking about it. Come join us.
Thanks for listening. Chad is next for Brendan and Tom. Grant and Danny, staying so long. Enjoy.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.